The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. We've been talking about the Commanders' latest loss. That's three in a row. They dropped to 7-5 as they lose to the Cowboys 36-24. They were favored in this game by 10.5, 11 points.
Yep.
Cowboys had been giving up 35 points a game, had been getting gouged on the ground regularly, so that's what we expected to happen on Sunday. It did not happen. Joining us to give us his perspective is our pal Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on Team 980. What's up, Craig?
What's up, boys? How are we doing?
Good. So hello. You break doing down well. Film a lot more than us. You talk to Logan Paulson on the regular. You do your show with him. What are you seeing from this Cliff Kingsbury's offense overall, where they have now sputtered for 3 weeks straight, and maybe even 5 weeks if you want to go that far back? What are you seeing overall, big picture?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just the lack of first and second down efficiency, right? So the basic easy stuff that they had earlier in the year, the run game specifically, is not there right now at the same level. And so that gets you into third and longs, and then they're facing more pressure. I've watched about the first quarter and a half of the film from yesterday, and like the offense was better than I thought it was going to be based off of the production, the output, how it felt at the time. But then you get in these situations where you have one bad run and you're in a second and long, and then you have an incompletion. Now you're in third and long, and then here's Micah Parsons blowing up a play, and now you're punting even though you got a first down earlier in the drive and things look to be rolling. And so I think that's the biggest thing is the run game, the design running back run game is just not anywhere close to what it was earlier in the season. And I just think it's an execution thing, which isn't always just the players not executing, you know, the coaches putting them in optimal situations or you know, is the teaching falling off or what, you know, they're not correcting mistakes. I don't know what the reason is, but the inability to run the ball effectively, and a part of it's obviously Brian Robinson is hurt in the last couple games and then gets hurt on the first play of this game. But still, it's just not giving them the prime optimal second and short, third and short, or not even getting to third down type of situations when that's how they lived earlier in the year.
How about the fact that Terry McLaurin has only been targeted 6, 2, and 6 times during the 3-game losing streak dating back to the Pittsburgh game? It's just not enough. I mean, you look at some of the elite wide receivers in the game, and those guys get targeted 10-plus times per game. He's had one 10-target game the entire season, and that was back in late September. Do we need to see an uptick in Terry targets going forward?
I mean, this has been a train that I've been on for years. I'm like, I know that Terry is not Justin Jefferson. I know that Terry is not CeeDee Lamb, but he's really, really good. And what would happen if you treated him like that? I'm just curious. I don't think it's actually the best way for an offense to run to get him, you know, 15 targets a game, but somewhere in the 8 to 10 range feels like a good idea for sure. And I think part of it though goes back to what I was talking about. Like, you have to have the play volume to get that many targets. Like, the percents are not as far off from some of the top guys as you would think. but it's because they're only running, you know, 50 plays a game or whatever because they can't get first downs. Like, if you don't have a 9-play drive, there's not a lot of opportunities to get anyone the football. You can't stack carries. You can't stack targets. You can't stack anything because there's just not the plays. And so I do think percentage-wise, I would like to see him get the football more. There are some plays, even in the first half, that I've watched back now where they're throwing the ball. You know, they kind of got mirrored routes on either side, and it's a stop or a go. And Jaden chooses to throw to Noah Brown. And maybe they like that matchup better on the corner 31 for Dallas. Maybe they like that a little bit better, but I would trust Terry in those situations. He's really good at running those vertical or, you know, kind of off the vertical stem where it's you threaten deep and then stop. He's more sudden than a guy like Noah Brown is, which is really important on those routes. He's more sure-handed in contested catch situations. So that becomes an issue there for a couple times on Brown. So I would just like to see him, like the short answer, Cakes, is yes, I would like to see Terry targeted more, but I do understand some of why he's not, and it goes back to the stuff that we've talked about.
Didn't you expect to see a bigger bump from Austin Ekeler yesterday in both the rushing and passing game when B-Rob was clearly affected by getting folded over early in the game? I thought it was just going to be a huge Austin Ekeler game from there on out. And I think they need to target him more because he's not a guy that you want to give 10 to 12 carries to. You want to give him 5 to 7, maybe 10. If the starter goes out, he gets more. Like, I thought he should have been more involved once B-Rob was clearly limited.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Austin is he's not a great, like, running back, right? Like, he's not a guy that you're going to give duo and inside zone and all these different looks to and expect it to go great. He's a space player. And so if you want to change up your offense and then go, all right, we're going to hit a few more screens. The problem is, like, if I'm Cliff, I'm scared to call a screen because we got picked on one earlier in the game. Like, that's not going to make me feel very confident that we're going to execute that at a high level. And our screen game has been a mess for 3 weeks for a variety of different reasons. So I know everyone wants to crush Cliff, and that's what happens when you lose and your unit's not really performing that well. So I get it's part of the league. This is not necessarily a defensive Cliff. It's just an empathy and an understanding to go, man, if I was him right now, I don't know what I'd call to feel good. Because they're mistargeting runs. They are not, you know, holding and sticking blocks well on that stuff. The screen game has been a disaster. So I just don't know what to call to feel really good about to get the ball in these playmakers' hands in a way that I feel confident in. That's his job. He's got to figure it out. So that's not saying like, oh, well, I guess they're just going to be bad now. And we'll accept it. Like, they got to figure it out. But I understand the problem here in terms of not feeling great calling a bunch of stuff that worked for me earlier in the year because it hasn't worked lately. And then with Austin, you know, in the running game outside of the screen game and getting him the ball as a passer, I mean, could you split him out a little bit more, try to get him on some angle routes and some choice routes on linebackers? Like, yeah, you could. But that stuff can be complicated and hard based off coverages that you're facing. And then the running game is a lot of stuff is like what we call game plan runs where it's more specialty. And, you know, you might be able to hit that once, but trying to hit it time and time again is just not going to work because defenses are going to latch onto it because there's some kind of tell early in the play. And then it's like, oh, well, I've seen this before. Let's go blow it up. And so I think it's just harder to get their run game going without B-Rob. So I think, yeah, obviously, they released Chris Rodriguez for roster spot reasons over the weekend. I assume they will sign him back today. With B-Rob, you know, potentially, you know, missing the next game. Austin obviously suffering that terrible concussion late in the game and presumably out for a while. So I would assume that Chris Rodriguez comes back and maybe he can be a guy that can get it going a little bit if B-Rob is limited and some of those more first and second down traditional, call them base runs. And if that's the case, then great. Now your offense is back on track. If not, then it's tough sledding because the Titans aren't good, but they've got some players on defense that can make things difficult.
Craig, let's go to the other side of the ball. Cooper Rush, a few weeks ago, played the Eagles and had 45 yards passing. He's Cooper Rush. They sacked him one time. He had a quarterback rating of 117. What are you seeing on the defensive side of the ball that's been an issue?
I mean, overall, I feel like the defense played pretty well yesterday. I mean, the 34 is misleading because there's two special teams touchdowns in the final 5 minutes or the final whatever minutes that was.
Right.
And so ultimately, like, they gave up 20 points, and that is not a bad day at the office. But at the same time, like, the lack of pass rush is clearly an issue, and especially yesterday because they, like, the Cowboys were without their two starting guards. Like, where's Daron Payne? What are we doing there? Where's Johnny Newton? Like, you're a rookie, but you're taking on backups and you're a second rounder. And then the other one that's kind of surprising is Dan Quinn has traditionally done such a great job with Micah Parsons. And this year, he and Joe have done a great job with Frankie Louvu of getting good matchups. Well, you got two backup guards. And where's Louvu, you know, the two sack kind of day? And, you know, you say that out loud and it sounds very like hot take sports talk radio type of thing. Like, expect a guy to get two sacks, but it's really like, can you get consistent pressure? And they just didn't.
They had two quarterback hits, Craig. That's
yeah,
it.
It's not good enough. And that, by the way, I don't know if you guys caught the very, very end of Dan's presser, but there's kind of a, hey, any more questions? Dan's ready to get, or actually they were like, any more questions? At first, no. He stays sitting down for a second, and then standing goes, the pass rush didn't seem to be getting home. And before he can finish the question, Dan goes, I agree. He slaps the table and gets up and is like, all right, we're good here. So, like, clearly that was something that was very much on his mind and very, very frustrating to him as to why they could not take advantage of a very, very banged up Cowboys offensive line. It's just not good enough. And then in the secondary, like, they need Marshawn Lattimore. And
definitely,
that was obvious yesterday. I mean, the touchdown that they give up to Schoonmaker late in the game is a blown coverage by, I think, Chin, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But it happens because, you know, think back to the Pittsburgh game. They don't give help to Benjamin St. Juice late, and he gets beat on the touchdown, right? So Quan Martin's playing the middle of the field as a safety, and he, is right before the snap, sprints over to basically say, Cooper Rush, don't you dare throw a fade ball over to CeeDee Lamb, who's matched up on Benjamin St. Juice, because I am here and I will pick that thing off and or smash through CeeDee Lamb. And then the middle of the field's wide open and nobody carries the tight end up the seam. And that's the easiest touchdown Cooper Rush will throw in his entire career. So that is like the need to do that kind of stuff versus just, hey, Marshawn Lattimore's got CeeDee Lamb. Where else can we allocate resources? Like, they definitely need him right now. And so I think the pass rush and the back end stuff is really rough. And then, you know, frankly, Rico Dowdle had a better game. I haven't looked at the actual average.
4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, but like during it felt terrible. And it's just like, I'm writing down Dowdle for 7, Dowdle for 6. Oh, there's the 2. Oh, there's for 7. And so for a team that really struggled to run the football all year too, the fact that they gave up a ton of rushing yards in this game, not ideal. Even if they bent but didn't really break. That's the thing, is they did enough. The defense did enough to win in this game. The offense just absolutely did not, especially in the second half. Well, and then just, obviously special teams is a whole other nightmare.
Yeah, remember, they were fortunate in that Dallas had a field goal that was blocked. They missed a field goal. They fumbled. They had a punt that was blocked. I mean, Dallas was doing everything to give Washington
for
chances.
Sure.
Great field position. So, yeah, largely.
But that's who Dallas is, right?
Yes.
Like, I think that's the frustrating thing about this game. I was talking about this with some folks in the press box yesterday, and it's like, it's not like Dallas came out and, you know, division rival. They got up for the game. They played a great game. The Cowboys played terribly yesterday. That's a bad football team that played bad football, and you lost to them if you're Washington. Like, that's what's hard to swallow about that game, is this isn't a Dallas team that came out and just played their best game of the year. They stunk yesterday, and they still won.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
That is true. That's Craig Hoffman, the host of The Craig Hoffman Show. You can listen to him later today on the Team 980. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank
Happy
you,
holiday.
Greg. Thanks,
yep.
Man.
You too, buddy. Oh, disaster cakes.
That was a loss on 3 levels. I know that I've focused more on the Cliff Kingsbury element and the offense, because it's just disappointing how good they were early in the season, and now the offense punting all the time, 3 and outs all the time.
They look disjointed.
But,
it's not flowing like it was.
But it was a bad defensive performance, and it was a bad special teams performance. They lost on all 3 phases.
Yes, they did.
We'll take more calls at 800-636-1067 on a Misery Monday, brought to you by Chenega Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.